306 DGS on KMOX. Stairway to Kevin.
All right, let's do a couple of 4th of July related things.
Yay.
Got a couple of them. All right, so.
Do we like 4th of July, by the way? I mean, I know it's the country's birthday.
Yeah, I always do.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I always do. I mean, you know, you guys know me on fireworks, but I love grilling, I love hanging out, and I love baseball, and those are all 4th of July things. So, yeah, pretty good deal. Pretty good deal. Speaking of, actually, the two things I have are related to that. So, I saw this story and I started to read into it. I'm like, oh, I wonder why that is. So there's been stories all over the place if you Google it. But the sale of grills and smokers is just like down tremendously.
Mm.
You'll say that. And then when I explain to you another thing, you'll be like, oh, of course they are. And there are all these like, is it because meat prices? Is it because people want to go out to eat more? Well, does it change your view of this industry trend when I note that during COVID, sales of grills and smokers exploded? It was like the biggest explosion in the sales of those. And now they estimate that 83-84% of people have either a grill or a smoker. Mm. And they're like trying to, this is what I hate, stories that are trying to seek solutions to the most obvious thing, right? Why would you think that sales of grills and smokers are down when you hear that 3 years ago they were at a record high?
Yeah.
Because you don't buy them all the time.
Sure.
Like, you buy one and have it for 10 years.
They're not disposable.
Then, right. Why are we doing these kinds of think pieces where we're like, I wonder if we should dig into whether or not it's because of prices of meat. Well, I mean, yeah, meat prices are up and the sale of meat is down a little bit, but it's not that dramatic. I think it's the most self-evident answer. You sold a buttload of them in 2020 and people aren't buying new ones because they don't need new ones. Is that, am I crazy?
Nope.
Have you noticed any less, like, do you grill less than you used to? Do you see it less in your neighborhood? Do you hear more or hear less of people like, let's have a cookout?
No.
Because to me, it's the same as it's ever been. I just don't understand why we do this. We always fool ourselves into thinking we've got to find a problem to solve.
Because life is no longer about life. Life is about content.
Yeah.
I mean, really let that settle in.
You're 100% right.
Life isn't about going to your girlfriend Tammy's house and swimming in the in-ground pool and then going to the drive-in and, you know, hanging out with your buddies. That's not what life's about anymore. Life is about creating content, and everyone out there, not everyone, but the vast majority of people in some way or another are content creators, and the actual content creators, like whoever wrote that stupid article, are just scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, and I clicked on it because I'm like, oh, I wonder if there's a really cool thing. Like, is there something on how bad is the, you know, the how much have meat sales dropped? Is that why nobody's grilling? And it turns out, well, they're down, but they're not down enough to merit measuring it against the grill sales, right? Like, people aren't avoiding buying grills because they don't want to buy meat. I mean, people are still buying meat. They're still cooking it. They're probably buying less than they used to.
I miss there being actual journalists who knew how to write an article.
Oh.
I mean, when I was on the Roxette, which was the Roxanna School newspaper, Mrs. Cruz taught us, you open it up with your declaration. Here's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the purpose of my article. Then you get into detail, and then you restate it.
Yep.
I can't
sum it up.
Tell
yep.
you how frustrating it is, and I'm sure it's because I'm being timed how long I'm looking at this article.
Yep.
But it takes you to like the fifth paragraph to really search to find out what is even the premise.
There's a lot of setup.
What are you even trying to tell me?
Yeah, 100%. Now, this is tied in a number of ways. So the next topic is tied in 4th of July. It's tied into this type of story that we're talking about, mm-hmm. where we're just creating content. We're trying to find problems. And because baseball has faced a lot of it. There are always these deep think piece type things like, why are people not watching baseball? Why is baseball's audience old? Blah, blah. You know, like, why is baseball dying? You see these all the time. And my answer for 20 years has been no, it's not dying. It never was dying. It never has been dying. And people don't understand the dynamics. And they just pointed out, there's a story this week that attendance is up in Major League Baseball from last year. That because all you see are stories about what's wrong. Why isn't anybody hitting? Why are there so many strikeouts? Strikeouts are killing the game. And the answer is it's not killing anything. You can say you don't like something without suggesting that it's murdering your favorite sport.
Mm.
But attendance is up. National TV ratings are up. The demographic of baseball fans has skewed younger over the last two or three years. So younger fans are engaging more.
So everything's better.
So, yes, it's going in the right direction. But you would never know that listening to baseball people.
What
because
percentage of people even know what you're talking about as far as baseball fans? Don't you think your average fan is like me 3 years ago? Now I think I'm more of a nerd.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Me 3 years ago was just like, oh, who won last night? Cardinals? Right on. You want to go to a game sometime? Get a couple beers, a couple dogs?
Yeah. Trying to put it the way that I want to, because this is not meant to be a positive or a negative slanted comment. I just think people only know what they're paying attention to, and mostly in baseball, that's your home team. So if the Cardinals are less than they were 5 years ago, right, and there are fewer fans at the ballpark when you go to Busch than there were 5 years ago, you're thinking, wow, baseball's slipping. Wow, like the thing in your head is this. And then you hear the problems with like Diamond Sports and they're all the Bally stations, and they're in bankruptcy and thinking all these problems. Well, those things are just things happening around the sport, right? And we always have this notion, not always, but there's always this notion that there's this problem that has to be solved. And yeah, baseball itself, Major League Baseball, the office, the commissioner, the owners, they're always saying, what are our weaknesses and how do we make more money? They're always doing that. And we glom on to like, well, we need to do more of this. But it's never been that bad. And just like in football, the story for a long time was, I'm never watching football again. No, you're not, because the ratings are higher than they've ever been. More people are going to games and watching games. Ticket prices in all sports are going up. Why? Because demand remains high. That's why. But it's interesting because if you ask the vibes, right, we're very much a vibes-based society right now. Like something feels like it's not what it used to be, therefore it's in decline, as opposed to actually looking and saying, attendance is up, ratings are up, young fans are actually interested. And part of it, I think, and what we're trying to think about the why, well, because baseball's changed in how they approach fans. They've made it much more friendly for use on social media, for example. A lot of young fans get a lot of their sports information and access on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and things along those lines. So by allowing players to show more emotion, by allowing players like Mason Winn to display personality when they're playing the game, or any other great young, Ellie De La Cruz, whatever, those things are celebrated and shown and they're chopped up into highlights and people are seeing that. Young fans like that.
Was that really frowned upon?
Yeah, it always has been. I mean, remember, was it maybe 5 years ago now, maybe 6 or 7, they had the commercial where it was like, let the kids play, let the kids play. And it was all the young players showing personality. When Bryce Harper came up, his enthusiasm was seen as a negative. It's too much. He's too much. Well, now it's the norm and it's becoming more the norm. And that's partly what is helping generate a younger audience that's interested.
Who is pushing that?
Well, who pushed it or who allowed it?
No, who is pushing, hey, settle down, Bryce Harper?
Oh, it was always the old guard. So that would be coaches, managers, veteran players, those kind of people. And that was because it was pushed on them. You know, right? That was the generational thing in baseball was rookies and young players are to be seen and not heard. You're not supposed to show your personality. Respect the game by being quiet. And now people realize, well, okay, but if you want to grow the business, you got to have fun. Because young people like fun. And the more fun something is, the more young people are going to want to be a part of it. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing, in addition to some of the on-field changes, which, by the way, number one changes, more teams available or eligible for the postseason than ever before.
Sounds like they're doing the right thing. So Dave Murray has abandoned us. I think that's the only way to put it. It's the only reasonable...
He doesn't want
conclusion.
To come on the show.
He's grinjoying the holiday.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Word I would use is betrayed. I think I would use the word betrayed.
Screwed over.
Yeah, that's kind of how we're all feeling right now.
Ruined.
I guess he just cares about his grandson more than he cares about us.
Priorities.
Kind of messed up.
Don't even say those words.
Priorities.
So he did give us a couple minutes of a live look. We have weather. Obviously, we always have weather, but we have some interesting weather moving in overnight and tomorrow.
Well, no question, we have settled into our unsettled weather pattern with a front hanging right over us, and it's going to be waving around tonight, waving around on 4th of July, waving around on Thursday night, and then it will finally get a little push to the south on Friday. So it is just kind of very humid and on the wet side. Now, as far as tonight is concerned, we have a couple of batches of showers and thunderstorms. One is early this evening, and that focus, because of what happened this morning, is going to be to our south. That's where the main boundary line is going to be. And then another batch of rain and thunderstorms, some possibly strong, late tonight. It will be after midnight, probably after about 2 in the morning, 74 for the low. Now, Thursday, 4th of July, kind of classic St. Louis weather. It is warm. It is humid, very humid. And yes, there will be showers and thunderstorms around. It seems to be an annual event for us. Best chance for showers and thunderstorms will be in the morning on Thursday. Some will be heavy rain producers. Then we're going to get into a break. Even expect to see a little sun come out, let's say late morning through much of the afternoon, and then scattered thunderstorms redeveloping late Thursday afternoon and into the evening, unfortunately. And those could also produce some heavy downpours of rain, looking for a high of about 88. The front is still waving around Thursday night with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some could be on the strong side. Basically, during the evening hours, then a break, and then later on, let's say almost towards morning on Friday, 73 for the low Thursday night. Friday, some spot thunderstorms lingering first thing in the morning on Friday, then partly sunny skies and about 88 degrees. Saturday looking like a fine day, though the humidity will stay up, and most of Sunday should be okay too, though I think I've got to add at least a couple of thunderstorms dotting around here and there on Sunday. We'll keep an eye on that. So unfortunately, it's a holiday. Unfortunately, it's warm and very humid, and there will be showers and thunderstorms around. Have a good, safe holiday, though, everybody. Talk with you tomorrow.
He didn't even try on that.
Talk with us tomorrow.
He talks
what is
in
he
rhymes.
Talking about?
He just blah, blah, blah,
blah. The bus goes here, the bus goes there.
Gonna be weather here, gonna be weather there. He's always rhyming.
Shrimp and grits.
I like both those audio clips.
Those are good.
I just love it when he's like, it's very weird.
Can you do it again?
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
She has some bad moments. Her moments are almost as bad as his. I think his are worse, actually.
Yeah. But she seems pretty senile, too.
She speaks in rhyme. It's weird. But she has bad moments. And
in rhyme?
Well, the way she talks, the bus will go here and then the bus will go there because that's what buses do. And it's weird. The whole thing is weird. This is not a president of the United States future. And I think they probably have some kind of a primary. And
this is not real life.
Madam Vice President, Hamas has accepted a ceasefire deal. Hamas has accepted a ceasefire deal. Your reaction?
What are your thoughts on Hamas accepting a ceasefire deal?
Okay.
The video really sells it because she's got
those guys too.
She's got the big grin on her face. Like the big Kamala smile. She's like shrimp and grits.
That should catch on. When someone asks you a question you don't want to answer, you should just yell shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits is pretty awesome.
Never had them. Never had a grit.
You've never had grits before?
No.
It's cheese, right? So I don't know if I've ever had grits.
You can put cheese on them.
And you want to be cheddar, my hot dog sommelier.
There are cheddar grits, right? Like white cheddar. Yeah, that's a thing. You can put cheese on and in it, yeah.
Grits are like a rice kind of thing, right?
It's a grain, yeah. It's wheat.
Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, speaking of Kamala Harris and President Joe Biden, 1 in 3 Democrats think that Biden should quit the race. This is according to a new Reuters Ipsos poll that closed yesterday. The 2-day poll found that both Trump and Biden maintain the support of 40% of registered voters, suggesting that Biden has not lost ground since the debate. And yet 1 in 3 Democrats think he should drop out.
If you're just tuning in, you've been busy all day. They held a very lengthy, very specific, I'll give them credit for that, news conference earlier today and said that absolutely, positively is Joe Biden not going to withdraw from the race. So could he still do it? He could, but that's going to make him seem even crazier if he's saying I'm absolutely unequivocally not withdrawing from the race and then he withdraws from the race.
Do you think, okay, so let's say he did go to the doctor in January. that's what he's claiming, right?
He claims that he went to this doctor in January and he's not been since, and he's not even talked to them since the debate, which I think is malpractice for a president. When your story is that you are not healthy enough, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he's saying, I'm not healthy enough physically, mentally, or emotionally to travel to other countries on Air Force One, be carried around on a silk pillow on Air Force One, come back, spend 11 days at Camp David doing whatever I want to do, resting, rejuvenating, getting ready for the debate, and I was just too tired, and this is his quote, I almost fell asleep on stage. You have to see a doctor. I would see a doctor. Wouldn't you see a doctor? I mean, you have a doctor right there at your disposal. Hey, doc, I'm feeling kind of weird. You saw the debate. Do I have something to worry about? Do I have early onset Alzheimer's? Am I just tired? Do I need a shot of B12? What can I do? How do you not see a doctor?
Yeah, I mean, he's lying about the jet lag stuff. Mm-hmm. That's not what it was. It's the fact that he
I hope
goes
he's
bad
lying
at night.
Because the
alternative is he's bad and healthy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think he owes it. The smart thing to do, if you really have nothing to hide and you really are this paragon of health, is to go to the doctor and then show us the results.
Yep.
But that's not going to happen. So,
do you think there's any real purchase to be made on having candidates take some sort of cognitive tests? It won't happen this time. This is the time it should happen with both Biden and Trump, but it won't happen this time. But do you think next time it's Newsom and J.D. Vance or something that we start doing something like that?
Oh, boy.
Do you find it offensive?
No.
I mean, I think it's terrible to say, but if it was Newsom and Vance, first of all, that would be terrible. Second of all, I wouldn't think that they would need to. I wouldn't
so you
be
think
like
it's an age thing.
But I'd be okay with just it being a thing for everybody.
Hesitant to say an age thing, less hesitant to say a conditional thing. Look, the fact is, I'm not trying to be ageist here, but when you are the age that these two men are, that is when you are typically more susceptible to the mental degradation that I think we are sometimes seeing from both of these kids.
If somebody told me at the age of 52 that one of the requirements for a job is to take a competency test, I'd take it.
Well, yeah.
I think it should be everybody. I mean, it may not be necessary for everybody, but if you just do it for everybody, then it's everybody. It's not, you're not picking and choosing. And it would be very nice to have some kind of something, kind of standard.
But, okay, I'm not trying to be, like, super contrarian devil's advocate over here, but who is going to be the decider of, like, oh, okay, you failed the test? There are people who would still want either candidate,
yeah,
even if they failed the test.
It may not even be a fail thing. It's just more everybody knows.
Right. But who would that authority be to come in and be like, eh, it's not
I
for
mean,
you.
I mean, you could give them both IQ tests, and they could both be subpar. I'm sure that every president has not been a genius, and
right,
I'm sure
right
that there are presidents out there that would probably have an IQ of 100 or less, but they could have still been good chief executives.
Yeah.
All right, moving on with headlines here. According to a new survey, the cost of Independence Day cookouts have reached record high levels. This is from the American Farm Bureau Federation. An average barbecue for 10 guests will be around $72.10. That's about 5% more than last July 4th and a record high since the survey started in 2013.
I hate these things. I would love to meet the person that can feed 10 people for $70. Just silly.
I mean,
it's like every year they do the same thing. Christmas dinner is going to cost $14. No, shut up.
Yeah, if you're just cooking hot dogs, it might be that.
Let's see here.
Yeah, but even that, good Lord. How many people they say?
10.
10? So you figure at least two per person, so you got to get at least 20.
$70.
So let's say
three
packs.
And then you got to get the hamburger to stuff in there. So uh-huh.
Yeah,
like,
that's right. That's right.
That's getting expensive.
And the cheese to inject.
The only condiment that Andrew Stills wants in his hot dog. Hamburger.
It's beef.
It's a hamburger.
Yes. A Delta flight had to make an emergency landing after serving spoiled food.
This one almost went real bad.
Yeah, it was forced to make an emergency landing at JFK, where medical crews treated the affected passengers. 277 passengers were on board the flight, but it's not known how many were sickened. But a Delta spokeswoman has offered an apology, saying, "This is not the service Delta is known for, and we sincerely apologize to our customers."
So when I was first flying back in the late 80s, every seat was assigned, and everyone had a meal served. The only real difference was if you're in first class, it was on China and you had all you wanted to drink of champagne. But everyone had a hot meal, a really good meal served on a plate. No peanuts, no crap like that. The flight attendants were fantastic. The pilots were fantastic. And I'm not saying like it was perfect and the planes never crashed and no one was ever rude to you. But I'm saying it was much, much, much better. Why do you think that is? Why were we better at such big things 30 years ago than we are now?
Well, don't
is
you
it just cutting costs?
Well, yeah. And don't you think way more people are flying now?
Well, I don't know about that.
It has to be because the population's bigger.
Yeah, but you just size it up. I don't think that we can't handle the number of people flying. I think they're just cutting costs.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, there's probably just so much churn.
Yeah.
And how are we going to, if it's a 2-hour flight, like, how are we really going to do a meal service for everybody? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's pretty obvious in a lot of industries, not just that one, that there used to be some kind of expectation of a level of service.
Mm-hmm.
And now
I think you're hitting it.
All of the companies have just said, yeah, we don't care if you're mad at us. You're going to buy our tickets anyway, and this will maximize our profits, and that's all we care about.
We all had dinner together last night. We were talking about when we had that 9-hour layover in Charlotte and just how terrible, I think it was Delta, sorry, but I think it was Delta, how awful the customer service was. And I think you're right, Kev. I think they've just given in and said, well, what are you going to do? You're going to fly with somebody, and chances are you're going to come back to us.
Let's do one more story here. A study has linked eating soy with better thinking ability. School-aged children who consumed more nutrients from soy foods exhibited better thinking abilities and attention, according to a press release from the American Society for Nutrition.
Not the Soy Foundation?
Not the Soy Foundation.
Sounds pretty woke.
Not the Soy Bureau.
Sounds pretty woke, doesn't
Sounds
it?
Pretty woke.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk to our buddy Scotty Warman, who will be leaving us and then going straight onto television to do the pregame for the Cardinals and the Pirates. There's no generation more divided than Generation Z by gender. So Generation Z females typically are very liberal and the boys are very conservative.
Interesting.
Yeah, does it surprise you at all?
No. I mean, with the internet, it kind of makes sense. If you spend too much time on Twitter like I do, you see like the girl power stuff is way on steroids, like more than it
the
ever has been
issue.
Before. Right, exactly. So that's going to galvanize people for sure. And then there's a lot of young men who are being influenced by people like Andrew Tate and others who are being told like
Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Well, I don't necessarily fault a Joe Rogan as much as I do like an Andrew Tate, but they're being told like you're they think all masculinity is toxic masculinity and they're trying to take away your what's rightfully yours and they're having their heads filled. Not saying that necessarily makes someone more conservative, but I think whenever you see it split down the middle as far as like, hey, the girls are for the girls and the guys are for the guys, they're both being influenced heavily by stuff online. So
I would argue, too, that every generation moving forward is more influenced than the one before it by what's happening online.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's a larger structure in place and more ways to do it. So Gen Alpha will be more influenced than Gen Z, but Gen Z certainly more than millennials, and millennials certainly more than Xers and all that.
What are they not influenced by, you think, that we were? Each other, parents?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought of that
before.
Maybe
they're still influenced by all the same things, but you add this on top of all that. Everyone goes crazy over